We're learning Tanya by the Alter Rebbe. We are in chapter 10, which is the chapter that defines and explains what a tzaddik is, what a righteous person is. And we're basically almost in the middle of the chapter. And we started explaining, the Alter Rebbe started explaining in this chapter, that there are different types of tzaddikim, of righteous people. Actually, in the first chapter, at the beginning of the text, the Alter Rebbe showed us that throughout the Talmud, different types of tzaddikim, righteous people, appear. Tzaddik beraloi, tzaddik betoivloi, a tzaddik that moves forward, prospers, or is bad for him, is evil inside, all kinds of different explanations. So Alter Rebbe is now putting everything in its place. And the first and main point over here that we did in the end of the last class is there are two feelings, two types of feelings. Feeling number one is love. Feeling number two is hatred. Love means I want to get close to blah, 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 whatever it is. Hatred in this case is not like I hate you and I'm screaming. No, no, no. That's not what we're talking about. It means I reject a certain thing. That's what hatred means in this context. And that hatred comes together with feeling really disgusted by something. That's why you actually reject it. This really, really gets me. I hate this thing. I don't like this thing. Now, what would a person love and what would a person hate? God. Either you love God or you hate evil. Why do I say or? Because that's exactly what Alter Rebbe is explaining by a tzaddik. When a tzaddik fully, completely, absolutely loves God, he fully, absolutely hates whatever is against God, whatever is against his will. But if he, at some point in his life, as we're going to learn in a minute, at some point in his life, something loves, quote unquote, evil, what does that mean? If he's a tzaddik, how can he love evil? Wait a second. Evil has many forms, many shapes. Evil doesn't mean, I'm going to kill you. Oh, that's evil. Yeah, that's true. That's evil. However, and we learned this, there are certain things that a person doesn't do for the sake of the service of God. That's also called evil. For instance, I always bring the same example because it's easy, but there are other examples. I eat. Why do you eat? Because I like food. I'm sorry, that's evil. Hey, but it's kosher, it's good, it's allowed, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but that's evil. Because you're not serving God. But we're calling that very subtle and high form, so to speak, of evil. And of course, from that very subtle and high form, from time to time, you go down and down and down until a person falls into complete and absolute evil that everybody calls evil. Okay, so when the tzaddik, going back, when the tzaddik loves even a tiny bit of evil, that means that his love toward God is not complete. You can't love at the same time God fully and evil even a little bit. It's impossible. No. According to the measurement of love, is going to be the measurement of hatred towards evil. They go hand by hand. And that's what a complete tzaddik means. He completely loves God. And therefore, he completely hates evil. Now, let's move on. We're almost in the beginning of page Tesvav, like 10 lines into the page. But tzaddik she'einoi gomur, what does it mean, a righteous person that is not complete? He is not complete in this case. This means a person that does not hate the other side, quote unquote, completely, with a full hatred. No. Velochen, and therefore, einoi moyes gamken bara betachlis. That's why he does not despise evil completely. If you don't really hate it, is because at some point in your life, you like it. Otherwise, you would hate it. All the time that the hatred and the despisement is not complete, That's what the Rebbe just said this. We're forced to say that you have some kind, some level, even a tiny bit of love and pleasure out of that. Because you don't hate it completely. And you did not remove the dirty garments, so to speak, completely, absolutely, no, because you still like it. In garments, we know, thoughts, speech, and action. So even if you think about it, or you think about the pleasure such a thing represents in your life, okay? So you like it. I didn't do anything. I was just thinking about it. You like it. Therefore, you don't love God completely, because God doesn't like that. But I'm just thinking about something, yeah? But God doesn't like that. Not even the thoughts. That's why this level of a tzaddik, he's still called a tzaddik, and I'm not called a tzaddik. I know who I am and so on. But this guy, he is called a tzaddik. However, he did not transform into good completely his evil part. Because he still has some grasping, so to speak, into these dirty garments. Ella, however, even though he has this quote-unquote love towards something that God doesn't like, this love is completely nullified. It's such a tiny thing, such a small thing that is nullified. That means it doesn't express itself. Not even in thought, not even in speech, not even in action. Of course, not in action. And it is insignificant. This is what the Alter Rebbe brought in the first chapter from the Zohar. That's why it's called a tzaddik, and the evil is subdued and nullified to him. I control my evil part. I'm conscious. I'm not talking about myself. I'm as if I was talking about this guy. I don't know exactly what it is because I'm not a tzaddik, but let's say this guy thinks like this. Let's suppose I know my evil parts, but they don't express. They're there. I was not able yet to transform them into good, but they don't do anything to me. I don't think about the evil parts. I mean, I know them. I don't think evilly. I don't talk evilly, and I don't do anything, and so on. That's why his love toward God is not complete. That's why he's called an incomplete tzaddik. So you see, the Alter Rebbe, what he did, in the first chapter he asked about this, and now he's answering. You have two types, two definitions of tzaddikim. Actually, it's two, that is four, but we will see. You have a tzaddik she'einoi gomur, an incomplete tzaddik. And then you say, a tzaddik v'raloi, a tzaddik that does not move on, prosper in his life, or has something evil. Why do you need two definitions? Because one of the definitions is talking about his love toward God, and the other definition is talking about his hatred towards evil. His love towards God is not complete. Tzadik Shein Gamur, he's not complete. His hatred towards evil is not complete. It's not complete either. So his evil parts are controlled by him, but he has them, but he controls them. So we're talking about the same person, but it's just two sides of the coin, so to speak. Towards God or towards evil. Vehine. Now. Madrega zum is chalekes lerevavu is madregis. This thing, this level of a tzaddik she'enoi gomor, this incomplete tzaddik, in itself divides into hundreds of thousands of levels. It's not just one type of person. No. Beinyan bechinas miutara. Taking into account how small is the evil inside this person from the four elements, bad elements explained before in chapter one also. And also taking into account how nullified is the evil inside of him. Bemiut, it's one part of evil, beshishim, into 60 parts of good. That's one classical. I don't want to get into halacha and laws, is not the moment right now, but it's one classical expression, one in 60, for example, or one in 1,000, for example, or 10,000. So you see, it's one part against 10,000 good parts. Okay, this guy is really a good guy. Just one small thing of evil in front of 10,000 good parts. And all these different types of nullifications. And these guys are actually the many, many tzaddikim, righteous people, that live in every single generation. Like the Talmud says, there are 18,000 tzaddikim, righteous people, in front of God. So there's a lot. It's a lot of people. So in the first chapter, the Alter Rebbe brought a midrash. The midrash said, by the end of the first chapter, that God saw the tzaddikim and they're very few. That's why he planted them in each generation. So they're very few. But wait a second, you just brought another piece of Talmud that says that 18,000 doesn't sound like very few. It's a big number. So what's the explanation? So the Alter Rebbe started explaining. He's going to continue in a second, in the next line. Alter Rebbe just said, wait a second, when the Talmud says 18,000 people, which it sounds like a big number, yeah, that's talking about tzaddik she'ein gomur, an incomplete tzaddik. He still loves a little bit pasta and pizza. Okay, he doesn't eat, but he thinks about, Or sometimes doesn't even express, forget it. He's not even conscious of that. The Beinoni, the intermediate person in chapter 12, maybe thinks about it. And then he says, no, I don't have to think about it. The tzaddik probably doesn't even think about it, but it's there. However, al-mail as tzaddik gomor, when you're talking about the virtue of a complete tzaddik, this is another level. Now we're talking about something else. Hushyama Rashbi, this is what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said. Ra'isi b'nei aliyah v'mu'atim chulei. I saw high people, holy people, and they're very few, etc. The Rebbe doesn't even want to mention the whole story. What does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon was talking to his son, Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Shimon said to his son, I saw high people, like very holy people, and they're very few. And if they're two, it's you and me. And if it's one, it's me. That's what he said. That's Rabbi Shimon. And he wasn't like being proud, or it was true. It's like real. It was real. But we're talking about very few people. And that's what Alter Rebbe brought in the first chapter. God planted them in each generation. Maybe one guy, maybe two. And that's really a few amount, a small amount. Shalach inikraim bnei aliyah. That's why these people, and we're talking about somebody really special, they're called Bnei Aliyah. The literal translation of Bnei Aliyah would be those who live upstairs. That's an Aliyah, upstairs. They live upstairs in the first floor. But with the real explanation of what it means, not the literal translation, means high people. Aliyah means Aliyah, high, very high level, lofty people. Very lofty people. Why? What's the loftiness of these people? Shemehapchim ara. There you go, the explanation within the words itself. They transform evil and they elevate it, like lofty, elevate it. They elevate it into holiness. They have a very special quality of literally transforming themselves. The Alter Rebbe brought in the first chapter another type of tzaddik, David HaMelech. He killed his evil inclination. That's not Bnei Aliyah either. That's not the type of guy that Alter Rebbe is talking about now. Because, to kill the evil inclination is better than to be an incomplete tzaddik, because you still have some evil inside of you, it doesn't express, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you killed him. Okay, very nice, but you did not transform it. So there are three levels over here. Level number one, I still love pasta, but it doesn't make any difference to me. Level number two, I don't love pasta anymore. That's it, it's dead. There's no Yetzer Hara at all, no evil inclination. Level number three, I transformed my evil inclination into good. There's no more evil inclination. Yeah, but I have two players now against zero. Before it was one against one, and then it was one against zero, now you have two against zero. Now, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain what these Bnei Aliyah people are. That's until the end of the chapter. Kedeisa bezoyar, biakdama. This is what it's written in the Zohar also, in the introduction of the Zohar, at the very beginning. Shekesheratza Rabbi Chiya la'aleiz le'eichal Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, when Rabbi Chiya was a very lofty person also, he wanted to go up into the palace, so to speak, in paradise, where Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was sitting there or whatever. Shoma kolon nafik, he heard a voice coming out of this room. The Omar, the voice was saying, Man min chondi chasheicha mehapchili nehoira, v'tanyo meriru lemiska, who of you transformed darkness into light and tastes bitter, or transforms the bitter taste into a sweet one? At lo yesunacha. If you did not do this, don't come here. Forget it. This is not for you. If you are in the level of having transformed and so on, okay, that's fine. You can come into my room, so to speak. If you did not do this, I'm sorry. And we're talking about Rabbi Chiya, who was a great sage. That's explanation number one of what Bnei Aliyah actually mean. What does it mean? These people that elevate, Bnei Aliyah, they elevate things. Ve'oid, in the first line of the next page 30, ve'oid nikraim Bnei Aliyah. There's another reason why they are called Bnei Aliyah, these people that elevate things. It's a huge subject, I'll translate it in a second, huge subject in mysticism, Jewish mysticism. Not so much brought down in Jewish Musar or ethics or no. But in Jewish mysticism, it's a recurrent subject. Let's translate. There's another reason why they call these people Bnei Aliyah. They're the children, so to speak, of above, of the upper floor, quote unquote, because their service to God, both in the level of doing good, in the level of doing good, fulfilling the Torah, learning the Torah, and fulfilling the commandments and so on, why do they do this? Let's say the Gavoya, for the need, this is where it's written, the need of above. They don't do it for themselves. They do it for God. Umailo maila druma mailis. And it's very, very high. To the highest of the highest, says Yalt Rebbe. Veleike de ledavka bo yizbarach belvat. And they don't serve God to attach themselves to God only. Lerav es tzimoin nafsham atzmei al Hashem. To quench the thirst they have for God, that the soul is thirsty for God. As it's written, says the prophet, those who are thirsty, go to the water, which actually, the Alter Rebbe says, is going to say later in the Tanya also, but what's the prophet saying? Do you need a prophet to tell you that when you're thirsty, you need water? Like every single stupid person knows this. You're thirsty, you don't go drink water. So the prophet is saying something else. If you're thirsty for God, go learn Torah, which is like water. Oh, that you need a prophet to tell you. How do you know that by learning a book, you quench your thirst for God? I want God. I don't want the book. Okay. The prophet is saying, for whatever reason, we're not going to learn this now. The Alter Rebbe doesn't get into this either. But for whatever reason, by learning Torah, you quench your thirst for God. So again, they don't serve God. These people, Bnei Aliyah, they don't serve God because they're thirsty for God and they want to quench that thirst. No. Ela, rather, as it's written in other places, rather, like the Tikkuni Zohar says, it's another part of the Zohar. Tikkuni Zohar says like this, Eize uchosid, what does it mean a pious person? What's a chosid? Amischasidim koinoi. It's a person that has mercy with God, with his creator. Sounds weird. Yeah, I know. But Kabbalah is full of this. A real pious person is that person who has piety with God. In Kan delay, in his creation, in which Kan actually doesn't mean creation. Kan is like I don't know the exact word in English, but when there's a bird that he got married, whatever, with another bird, and they put eggs and so on, they do it in a can. That's what can means. In Spanish, it's nido, whatever. The can delay. So over here, we're talking about a specific level of godliness. The Alter Rebbe is not going to explain, so I'm not going to give great explanations either. But the point over here is there's a source of the souls of the Jews. It's a level called Malchus, whatever, the kingship of God. It doesn't really matter. Knesset Israel, the reunion of Jewish souls and so on. That's called the Kan. That's the place where we come from. Like the eggs come from, yeah, I know, the mother bird. But the truth is that we're born in that particular place called Nido in Spanish, whatever. So if you really are a pious person, you have mercy on that level. What does that mean? Again, I'm not going to give great explanations, but the simple, even though it's not simple, but the simple meaning is that the truth is God is also in exile together with us. Because what does it mean, exile? Exile means his presence is hidden. It's concealed. We don't see him. And he wants to be revealed. He wants to be known by the people and so on. So when we serve God in order to reveal his presence, not for our benefit at all, not to quench our thirst at all, for him to be revealed, because this is what he wants. Oh, so you're having mercy on that particular level that we say it is hidden. Oh, that's what the Zohar is talking about. You're having mercy on God, so to speak. To do what? Le'yachda kuchabrichu shchintai betachtoinim. To unify these two levels, kuchabrichu, whatever, God and his presence. These are levels in Kabbalah which right now don't really matter. Zo, Malchus, whatever. So you're having mercy to unify these two levels, like the husband and the wife. As it's written in this particular other part of the Zohar, Raya Mehemna is a part of the Zohar that Moshe Rabbeinu himself spoke. In Parsha states, what does it say over there? Kebara deishtadle basar avui ve'imei, like a son, that he makes all kinds of efforts for his father and his mother. Because the son loves his father and mother more than himself, more than his soul, ruach, nefesh, neshama, different parts of the soul, etc. Umasar garmei lemisalayu, lemifrak lemchul, kama shekos ma'acher. And this son loves so much his father and his mother that he gives out his life for them to redeem them, as it's written somewhere else. So over here we see the Alter Rebbe is defining, explaining this kind of tzaddik. All the service of God that he does, every single thing that he does, we're talking about the complete tzaddik, is not for him. It's not for a piece of Gan Eden, of paradise. It's not to quench his thirst for God. It's not to get attached to God. It's like, forget it. Nothing where there's an I in the middle, that's already bad. That's already bad. Interestingly, and I'm not saying like bad things about it or anything, but just to see the contrast, the Mesilas Yesharim, the path of the righteous, of the whatever you call it, of Chaim Luzzatto, he starts the whole book. And he says, what's the whole objective of life? To attach yourself to God. Ledavka boy, to attach yourself to God. For the pleasure of touching and feeling God. Okay, the Alter Rebbe is saying, wait, I understand what you're saying, but that's not the real objective. We're not here for ourselves, not even to attach ourselves to God. Oh, I'm enjoying God, it's so nice. You are enjoying God? Mm-mm. That's already not good. I'm not saying you don't have to enjoy. These are levels, and we're talking about a complete tzaddik. That's why everything has to be put into context and into its particular place. Am I a tzaddik? No, I know that. No problem with that either. The Alter Rebbe is going to explain it in chapters 27, 28, 29. I don't have a problem not being a tzaddik, but we're defining a tzaddik. This guy, he's in a different world, completely. Nothing that he does is mixed with himself in any way at all. Now, before moving on, there's a bracket over here. I want to explain why the Alter Rebbe put these brackets over there. The Alter Rebbe brought basically two explanations of B'nai Aliyah, the greatest level of a tzaddik, which is called, again, this B'nai Aliyah. First explanation was because these people transform evil into good. They elevate. Aliyah means to elevate, like the first floor that is elevated on top of the floor itself, whatever, this first floor. So they elevate the lower worlds into the higher worlds. That's the B'nai Aliyah. They elevate. Okay. And then he brought up a different explanation. The second explanation was all they do is for God, towards God, for the sake of God. So B'nai Aliyah means I'm like your son, quote unquote, God, no? I'm like your son, and therefore everything I do is for you. I love you so much. I do everything for you. Not for me. Forget about me. It's just for you. That's the second explanation. Now goes the brackets. The truth is, they're actually the same. These two explanations go together. Kane means like a stick. They go in the same stick. They go by the same stick. They're the same thing. Why? It's a little bit Kabbalah now. Through the refinements that a person refines from Klipas Noiga, from this brilliant shell that we explained in chapter 7 of Tanya, by using the world for the sake of God, Malin Main Nukvin, they elevate. This is called feminine waters. Classic Kabbalah expression. Feminine waters means, the most simple explanation is, we are like the feminine part and God is like the masculine part. So we elevate ourselves toward Him, and that means we elevate feminine waters. When God gets close to us, because He started getting close to us, He's quote-unquote calling us, that's called mad, mind harin, masculine waters, because the man started, hello, the relationship. But when she starts the relationship, that means us, not God, the woman started the relationship, hello, how are you? That's mind nukvin, feminine waters. Okay, so these guys, these tzaddikim, are refining the world. And they're elevating these feminine waters, which means, again, from us starts the relationship toward God. And these feminine waters, when they go up, so to speak, they project, they generate very lofty unifications of different names and different levels up there, whatever. You see, to bring down masculine waters. So to speak, maybe could be used as an example. We're calling God and He's answering. So our call is the feminine waters. Hello, answer me. I need blah, blah, blah. And His answer is mind churin, the masculine waters, coming down the blessing for whatever you ask. Shem meimei achasadim, that when these quote unquote masculine waters come down, it's like kind waters of kindness. That's what it's called, waters of kindness. Shebechol mitzvah u'mitzvah meravach mitzvahs aseh, that this quote-unquote waters, this energy, kindness, energy of kindness, is within each commandment, from 248 commandments, positive commandments. Shekulan en bechinas chasadim. All of them are chesed, kindness of God. So when a Jew, and this is important to mention because he's talking about Jews, as I mentioned many times, the Tanya itself was written for Jews. So certain ideas apply to Jews and not to non-Jews. These ideas, one of those, for instance. When a Jew does a mitzvah that is commanded to do, and this part, it's fundamental to understand the thing that we're learning. A non-Jew can do certain mitzvahs of the Torah, even if he's not commanded, but he has to be very conscious, I'm not commanded to do this, and I'm doing it anyway because I want to receive some reward. That's what the Rambam writes, and it's fine. But it doesn't project, it doesn't produce exactly the same that the Alter Rebbe is defining over here. So when the Jew does the mitzvah, because he's commanded to do so, what's the commandment mean? The commandment means God, so to speak, God saying, when you do this, I'll be there. And I'll send you something, whatever, spiritual dollars or spiritual health or whatever it is. This relationship of God saying, when you do this that I'm commanding, I'll be there, I'll send you something, that connection is not by non-Jew. Not even when the non-Jew decides to do the mitzvah, being conscious I'm not doing this because I'm commanded to, I'm doing this because I want to, which is okay. We can discuss exactly what, when, how. Okay, that's a different thing, but it's okay. Generally, it's saying it's okay. There are opinions that are going to tell you that it's not okay. If you ask Rabbi Weiner and the Vicondes, they will say no, definitely not. But whatever, there are opinions, and I'm not going into law right now, halacha. The point is, the Alter Rebbe is defining how's the relationship between God and a Jew. When you do this commandment, I'll be there sending you something. Sending you what? Chesed, kindness. Which, don't misunderstand, doesn't mean dollars and health. No, it means whatever. The kindness that particular mitzvah represents. Whatever it is. Each mitzvah represents a different type of projection of godliness. Umayin tchurin, and these masculine waters, what does that mean? The haynu, that means amshachas kedushas elokus yisbarach milemay lo lemata. That's the projection of godliness from above to below. Leislavesh betachtoinim, to be invested in the lower worlds, as it's written somewhere else. And this is the end of the chapter and the end of the brackets. What did the Alter Rebbe do? Alter Rebbe explained to us that these two explanations of Bnei Aliyah, they're actually the same. Why? How are they the same? Because the first explanation of Bnei Aliyah, as I mentioned before, is to elevate something from the lower worlds into the higher worlds. And the second explanation of Bnei Aliyah, what does it mean? To bring down godliness into the world. Ah, so that you're just looking at the same guy just from two different perspectives. From down up, from below up, from above below to below. So they're both Bnei Aliyah because they actually both do the same thing. They elevate the world towards God and they bring down God into this world. The only thing that the Alter Rebbe did in brackets is to show us, so to speak, the particular language of Kabbalah, how it's brought down in different places and so on. And he explained, these guys do the same thing. So it's just one person. What are you looking at? How he elevates the world or how he brings down godliness into this world? And just to finish, again, this is a tzaddik. This is the most complete and absolute full tzaddik, righteous person. Are we there? No. And somebody asked the Alter Rebbe, I don't remember exactly who it was, but somebody asked the Alter Rebbe, are you a tzaddik? The story is a different languages, but the point of the story is, are you a tzaddik? And Rebbe said, no, I'm a beinoni. I'm an intermediate person, which is going to come in chapter 12. In the next chapter, we're going to talk about the evil person, the rasha, the bad person. But the Alter Rebbe said, there are 500 levels of beinonim, of intermediate people. So I'm a beinoni, what do you want from me? If the Alter Rebbe says this, we know he was a tzaddik, but whatever, that means we're talking about a very lofty level, and it's not expected of each one of us to be in this particular level. That's not the avoida, that's why the Sefer, the whole book is called Sefer Shel Beinonim, the book of intermediate person, not the book of tzaddikim, of righteous people. But in order to understand what an intermediate person is, we need to know what a tzaddik is. So that's why the Alter Rebbe defined what a tzaddik is.